In our third of six division preview podcasts, Chris Withers and I explore the Southeast Division. Ah, warm temperatures, beaches, hurricanes, both lethal and otherwise, big egos. It's a division of wonder. I'm Jason Carrillo.
And I'm Chris Withers.
And we are
Pucked in the Head.
She hitched a ride up from Frisco. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Jason. Today we are exploring the hockey-trocity that is the Southeast Division.
The Southeast Division, which pretty much guarantees the Washington Capitals a division title, if not a conference title. There's not a lot of good hockey being played in the Southeast Division.
No, there is not. Looking at the stats from last year, Washington Capitals were a plus 85 in goals scored.
And most of that was scored against their division rivals.
Everybody else was at least a minus 20.
It's pretty much like looking at one NHL team playing a bunch of AHL teams. Honestly, Carolina, Tampa, Florida, and Atlanta have not provided any kind of competition for Washington in the last couple of seasons. Last year, Washington was the only team to make the playoffs in this division.
Yeah. How painful is it that there's been two Stanley Cups within the last 10 to 15 years?
It is pretty amazing that both Carolina and Tampa have won cups in the last decade because they were atrocious last year. Tampa has been atrocious for a number of years. Look at the number one picks on that roster. Steven Stamkos, this guy's going to be great. And they're still stinky. They've got Vinny LeCavalier. They've got Martin St-Louis. And they still suck.
Well, you know what? This might be the year that they turn it around.
I agree with you, and I barely want to talk about Washington because their team is almost unchanged. Now, they haven't signed Jose Theodore.
No, but I mean, Varlamov has been pretty capable. He's been chomping at the bit to get the number one job, so.
And honestly, when your team scores 318 goals in a season.
Why would you change very much?
Do they even need a goalie?
Well, I mean, no. Are there rules against throwing a chimpanzee in goal and just having him sit there?
Chimpanzee. I don't even have a joke for that. That's good. I like that. No, there's no rule against that I am aware of. However, I'm sure that the NHLPA would not appeal a species-specific rule if the NHL decided to try to manufacture one.
The NHLPA would probably just cave.
Well, from what I understand, the NHLPA is actually introducing a chimp as their head.
Donald Fehr, he represented the MLBPA during its worst period ever. That doesn't bode well for the NHL players.
I'd like to know why the NHL can't find good people who are hockey people. Like, why do we have guys like Gary Bettman and Donald Fehr involved in these things? Why can't hockey people be involved?
Well, those positions lend themselves to lawyers. I don't know why you couldn't get a couple of Canadian lawyers who actually know the game.
As do GM positions. And look at the ex-players who've become lawyers, who become good GMs.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Burke, blowhard, but he's a smart hockey man. Ken Dryden didn't do a lot of great stuff with the Leafs, but he wasn't given the power or the money to do it. This is a very smart lawyer hockey man.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Anyways, we're getting off topic. We're supposed to be talking Southeast Division.
But there's not a lot to talk about, Chris. This division is woeful. Okay.
All right. Let's finish off the Caps because they're going to run away with this division.
They're going to run away, possibly get a conference. Although I think Pittsburgh is going to challenge them for a conference.
Okay.
I think Pittsburgh's going to challenge them for that.
Now, do you think they shore up their defenseman with a Fleischman deal? There's been a lot of rumors. There's been two in particular. Thomas Fleischman to the Oilers
for a Sheldon Surrey
deal, and Thomas Fleischman to Vancouver for Kevin Bieksa.
Now, Fleischman to Vancouver doesn't make a lot of sense for the Canucks.
Not anymore. No, I think it did when those rumors were really floating around, but with the Salo injury, I think they're going to hang on to Bieksa.
I'm not even talking about the Salo injury so much as their needs on forward.
Yeah, you think they're just too stacked?
They need a guy to be like an eighth or ninth or even 10th, 11th forward. They don't need a guy like Fleischman. Fleischman's the kind of guy who kind of languishes on a second line,
you know,
who's going to be on a first power play unit, but he doesn't dig in the corners. He doesn't forecheck. He's kind of a soft touch.
Yeah.
That's not what the Canucks need.
Okay. Yeah, no, I honestly, I just recently became aware that those rumors existed, and I didn't really strike me as something they should go for.
Now, I think from BX's point of view, I think his game would suit the Capitals quite well. But I also think Sheldon Soure, as a me first kind of guy, really fits the Cap, because the Capitals is a team of individual players.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, Soure in Washington makes sense.
I don't know why anybody would be going after Soure.
Not with his contract.
I mean, seriously, the guy's going to dislocate his shoulder the next time he takes a hard slap shot.
I just know that when he plays, Soure can be a game breaker.
Anyways, Tampa Bay, one of the most interesting teams in this division.
Oh, certainly. Last year, they were minus 43 as a team. They were actually 7 games over .500 at home, if you can believe it.
Well, that's not bad.
They were also 9 games under .500 on the road.
Yeah.
Even with the cheater Bettman point that overtime losers get, these guys did not even get 82 points.
Yeah.
They had 80 points. They finished 12th in the conference. But they also had a lot of underperforming players. Steve Stamkos was the only guy who played well on the front end.
Le Cavalier's got nothing to play for anymore, really. I mean, unless the team starts to compete, the guy's made his money.
Do you want to know what he has to play for now? Stevie Y.
Yeah.
Stevie Y is the guy. When it comes to Team Canada, Le Cavalier was left off the Olympic squad. He wants to play for Team Canada next time around in Sochi, in Russia. And he knows that Stevie Y is not just showing up once or twice or watching some tape. This guy's going to be at every practice and every game.
And now it's not just Yzerman, though, that the Lightning have brought in. You know, they've changed pretty much every aspect of their front office. They've brought in Todd Lywicki, who's got a ton of experience as a president in sports. I think he, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Seahawks in the NFL that he was working with and did a fantastic job. He's really highly rated as a sports businessman.
Okay, interesting.
Guy Boucher is the new coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's coming up through the AHL. Now, this is the guy that made some headlines by turning down the Columbus Blue Jackets when they offered them their vacant coaching position.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up going to Tampa Bay because that was the situation he wanted.
And he's got a couple of star players who underperformed. He can motivate them. And, as I said, a chance to work with a guy like Steve Yzerman.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty rare air you're walking around in.
And just as an aside, because he's got a great nickname, Stumpy is involved with player development now with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
Steve Thomas.
Now, how did he get the name Stumpy? I'm kind of scared to ask that. I think he's just short. I'm scared to ask that. Well, I hope it's height. I hope it's height. I hope it's not length or width or girth. Yes, I said girth.
You did.
So lots of exciting stuff behind the scenes in Tampa.
Player acquisitions, they've made a couple of good ones. You know, they took a risk, went out and got Simone Gagné from Philadelphia. Been injured a lot throughout his career, but when he's healthy, he's a really, really good player.
He is a game breaker, that guy.
Yeah.
What a sweet touch he's got around the net. He sees the ice so well. Beautiful skater as well.
Also, Jason, the douchometer is going off.
I do hear it. Wait, could you take a reading? What do you see?
Dan Ellis has signed with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay, now come on. That douchometer? Come on, this guy's not a douche. He's a nice guy.
He's a douche. Now, for those of you who don't know why Dan Ellis is a douche, he made some completely out-of-touch comments on his Twitter account, basically saying he was stressed about his financial situation.
Okay, now, I think, listeners, you should actually go and check out what this guy said. It's been in the news. You can certainly search for it on any hockey blog, hockey reportage, as they say.
Who says that?
The French. The French say that. Simone Gagné probably says that.
Go on.
So basically, he was answering fans' questions. Lots of fans sending him questions. He was, you know, he was up for it. Went and answered them. One guy asked him about the sticking point between the NHLPA and the NHL with regards to the escrow money being held back from their salaries. And instead of just saying, hey, none of your business, guy, I'm not going to talk about my finances, he first of all made a little joke saying the NHL doesn't want 18%, they want 24%. And then he said, and this is where everybody freaked out, said something about losing 18% of your pay sucks no matter who you are. Money doesn't buy happiness. In fact, I'm more stressed about money now than I was in college. How does this rate on a douchometer? If I took 18% of your pay, you would be gleeful about this?
If you took 18% of my pay that I was not expecting to have to pay, yes, I would be upset. If I had signed a contract knowing full well that me and everybody else in the bloody league had to pay this into escrow because that's part of the contract, and there was a good chance that I was going to get that money back down the road, yes, that's douchey.
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that if you complain about tax rates in Canada, you're a douche?
No.
Because
like I said, everybody has to pay tax.
Right. So if you complain about it when you know that you have to pay it and you know that everyone in Canada has to pay it, does that make you a douche?
If you're complaining about it when you're making $1.5 million, then yes, that's going to come off a little douchey.
Okay, so does that mean that if someone makes significantly less money than you, then they can call you a douche when you complain about your pay?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I will remember that. I happen to agree with Dan Ellis that if someone just openly talks about losing almost 20% of your paycheck.
I will say this. I think that it was blown out of proportion. I think that he was well-intentioned. I think he really needs to choose his words better in the future because he came off like a douche.
Athletes are so often complained about that they don't really talk to fans, they don't answer things, they're giving the same answers to questions in interviews all the time. Most athletes come off as having no personality whatsoever. And yet, when someone does have a personality, when someone does actually talk like a human being, they are vilified. People on Twitter...
He talked like a human being that makes a whole shit pile more money than everybody else.
But it doesn't matter how much you make, Chris. And he wasn't holding it over you saying, haha, I make more money than you. No. He wasn't like, excellent.
He sounded out of touch.
Excellent. It wasn't anything like that. The guy simply said, it sucks to lose some money from your paycheck. And that's true, it does. How does that make him a douche? Maybe you have a different doucheometer than I do. Clearly you do. Clearly you do. You did not buy the sanctioned Jason Carello doucheometer that I invented a few weeks ago because you're getting a reading here and I'm not. I got nothing.
All right. Anyways, where the hell were we? We were on Tampa Bay.
Do you have anything else to say about it at all?
Not really. I mean, I think basically their moves offseason have been a wash. They picked up Ellis. They lost Nitti Mackey. They picked up Kubina and they lost Curtis Foster. Tanguay's gone to Calgary and they picked up Simone Gagné. So...
Well, that's a big upgrade.
That is a huge upgrade. So
I think Yzerman being GM is going to make Tampa Bay a destination team.
Yes.
A lot like now the Canucks are. Like so many players that we saw this year came in because they want to play for Vancouver.
I don't know that they'll get to the level of Vancouver.
Well,
on
not
the destinations.
This season.
But,
not this season.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think at all. I don't think they'll quite get there. But
A few years ago, we saw guys like Rob Blake and Paul Kariya running, and even Joe Thornton, guys like that, running to California,
mm-hmm.
right? Finding any way they could to play in California. I think we're going to see that in Tampa.
Okay. Just because of the weather and the hockey smarts.
You've got the weather. You've got hockey smarts in that market. I think Steve Yzerman, he's such a cagey guy. And he's so young that he's still in touch with that young element. I think he's going to find a way to market Tampa Bay. And they've changed all this stuff in the front office, like you said, bringing in smart salesmen, basically, to make it a franchise that works. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Tampa become a destination team. They're not going to threaten to be in the playoffs this year, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it next year or the year after that.
I disagree, but we'll get to that. The other Florida team is... a bad team.
They were a very bad team last year. They were 14th in the conference. They've got a couple of new guys.
Yeah.
One guy we previously called a turd many times on this podcast, Steve Bernier.
Steve Bernier. It's disappointing that we're not going to be able to refer to him as a turd on a regular basis with him playing so far away. We're never going to have occasion to.
I mean, we could certainly find ways to do it. We could invent a turdometer and just make sure that we pointed at him every once in a while.
Yeah, you know what? I think we've got the doucheometer. I think that's enough.
Okay, well, this guy was a $2.2 million salary jump by the Canucks.
Yeah.
It was a $2.2 million salary eating by the Panthers in order to get Michael Grabner and in order to get over the salary floor.
You know what? They're actually not that close to the floor. They're about $10 million over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, but they've still got a lot of cap room there.
They do. They've got $9.5 million. They lose on defense. Keith Ballard,
of course, came over here in the offseason.
Dennis Seidenberg is also gone.
He went to Boston.
They also lost Nathan Horton, who I've mentioned before. I'm really high on that guy. He's going to be a big loss for that franchise.
Right, and a couple of podcasts ago, you said he's going to be big news in Boston.
I think so. And they picked up Chris Higgins, who maybe this is what Higgins needs, because he's played in some really high-profile markets in Montreal and New York. Maybe he's one of those guys that just needs to go somewhere and be obscure and just play hockey.
Yeah, it works for some people, right? They really flourish when they don't have all those microphones in their face everywhere they go.
Yeah, but in any event, I mean, they lost Arescovic too. He was part of that deal to Vancouver, so I don't think Yeah, I don't think that they've significantly improved.
So you think they're still a very poor team?
I think they're very poor. I think they're dead last in the division.
Wow. Yeah. Dead last. Yeah. Okay. Carolina Hurricanes.
Carolina.
Now, their big news is Rob Brind'Amour is not going to be on the ice.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing, honestly. They lost Brind'Amour. They lost Matt Cullen.
Well, Brind'Amour is retirement. I mean, that's you can't blame them.
No, fair enough. But Whitney's gone. Nicholas Wallin is gone. I don't know who's going to score or defend for these guys.
Well, who's going to score? Eric Staal is still there.
Staal's still there. Cole, if he's healthy. Hopefully, Brandon Sutter will step up. Otherwise, it's going to be quite a tragic team. They did bring in Justin Pogge. I'm not sure how they acquired him. Do you recall?
I don't. I'm sorry.
But anyways, it looks like he's going to be backing up Cam Ward. But this team has just lost that something that took them to the Cup a few years ago.
Well, and they've been lacking that something for a while.
Yeah.
So their top defenseman is Joni Pekkanen. Joe Corvo's on the back end. Tim Gleason. I don't know a lot about Tim Gleason. The rest, their forwards, yeah, you've basically got Tuomo Ruutu, Eric Staal, Eric Cole, Sergei Samsonov. He played well at the end of the season.
Yeah. Again, he's one of those guys who's not going to go into the corners. No, if he gets open, then
they've got
great,
quite a few unrestricted free agents on their roster after next year. Yeah. I think they're going to do a retool after that, because you've got Sergei Samsonov, Jussi Jokinen, Chad LaRose, Brandon Sutter, Tom Kostopoulos, Jerome Sampson, like all these guys gone after next year.
Yeah.
And with the woeful franchise they've got, they're not going to be re-signing these guys. So, yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Carolina finish last in that conference. Yeah, they're just, there's nothing there. I feel bad for Eric Staal. He's the only real...
Well, Cole's good too.
Okay, but like you said, injuries are a big problem. Eric Staal is the prototypical Team Canada. This is a guy who could be the captain of Team Canada in some situations. And he likely will be in world championships for years to come, because his team is not going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. Another interesting team in the Southeast, though. The Atlanta Blackhawks.
Right.
Chicago, as you know, huge salary cap concerns this year. We'll certainly be discussing them shortly.
When we do our Western Conference previews.
Yeah. They had to dump basically their bottom six. They sent a good number of them to the Atlanta Blackhawks.
Now, what's interesting, though, is they sent one of their bottom six to the Atlanta Blue Line.
Yes.
Dustin Byfuglien is going to be starting the season, or at least the training camp, on defense.
Yeah.
And which is where he started.
That's
in the
his
NHL,
natural
right?
position. He was basically playing with Kane and Taves just to sit in front of the net, which
worked well.
Worked really well.
But who is he going to play with in Atlanta that makes him look good there?
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why he's moving back to the to defense.
Taves and Kane can cycle the puck in a much flashier way than the Sedins do, but they can cycle the puck forever.
Yeah.
Until they get it to Byfuglien in the crease, right? So
they also acquired Ladd and Eager from Chicago. That was the big part of the big nine-player deal, and they got Brent Sopel as well
on the back end.
On the back end.
So they got two defensemen, two Stanley Cup winning defensemen in that deal.
Yeah, it's not really news, but Kovalchuk went to New Jersey towards the end of last year. They haven't really addressed that. They brought in Frederick Modine, who's good, but certainly nowhere near that level. Yeah, it's going to be a young team. I think they're going to play a really up-tempo game, but I don't know how well they're going to be able to compete. I just don't think they've got the firepower.
Well, this is a team, again, they're not going to do any damage against Washington.
No.
Carolina is a wash. Tampa might be able to hold their own. Mm-hmm. I think Tampa's probably going to finish in second in this division. But Atlanta, Carolina, and Florida are all going to be fighting for the bottom feeder in this division, I think. I don't think... I mean, Carolina, for my money, Carolina's last place in this division. Atlanta...
I've got Florida in last place, Carolina just above them. I think they're going to be probably 13th and 14th in the conference.
Yeah, this is an awful division, and it's very sad for me to see a good team in Washington with their stats being artificially inflated.
Yeah.
When we talk about the Northwest next week, we're going to see that Vancouver's stats were padded by a similar situation last year. Yeah. And that's why Washington and Vancouver had such a big differential.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wasn't because they were so good. They were good. But were they that much better than everybody else? I don't know. This is a poor division with one good team. I'm hoping Tampa will at least push Washington a little bit.
Yeah.
And give them something to worry about. I just don't know if that's going to happen. Well, I'd like to see it, but...
You know what? I went out on a limb last podcast and said that New Jersey was going to miss the playoffs.
Right.
Finish in ninth place. I'm going to say that they're going to be replaced by the Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right.
I've got Tampa Bay squeaking in eighth in the conference.
Well, I have got basically a repeat of last year. I've got Washington winning. I've got Tampa finishing in second, but they're going to miss the playoffs.
Okay.
I'd like to see them get in because, like I said, I think Yzerman is going to instill a work ethic there. I do think that teams like Tampa Bay and the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to threaten to get in. I just don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, Atlanta is going to suck. Carolina is going to suck. Florida is going to suck. This division is just not fun to watch.
See, here's what Simone Gagné did for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He gave them two lines. You know, last year, all they had was that trifecta of Le Cavalier, St. Louis, and Stamkos.
Good trio of players there.
But then it fell off. There was nothing after that.
And there was nobody that they could mix it up with to turn it into two decent lines.
Yeah.
There was nobody to put on a second line with any of them.
Gagné gives them that opportunity.
That's true enough. But like I said, I just think with all the interconference play here, you're going to see that Tampa is going to move up from their 80 points. Is it going to be enough to get into the playoffs? I just don't know. They might be what prevents the Rangers from getting in. They might be what prevents the Maple Leafs from getting in.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know if they're going to have enough. But I do think Tampa is going to finish in second place. I think Atlanta is going to be in third. Florida is in fourth. And Carolina is going to come in dead last in this division.
Aside from Tampa Bay, my predictions don't really matter because the other three are going to be non-factors. I don't see the point in debating the order that they're going to suck.
So there we go. We've got our Southeast division. Not the most interesting topics in the world in that division because it's such a one-sided
battle. It is,
battle.
Yeah.
So that concludes our Eastern Conference predictions. Chris Withers, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, Jason. We'll see you again shortly.
We will see each other very shortly when we get into the Western Conference. My name is Jason Carello. You are listening to Pucked in the Head. You can find Pucked in the Head on Twitter. All one word, Pucked in the Head. You can also go and find us at puckedinthehead.com, as well as go to iTunes and search for Pucked in the Head.
Do you want to throw one more in there, Jason? You can also go to our Facebook fan page.
Search for Pucked in the Head. Thanks very much, everybody. We'll see you next time with Western Conference Predictions. We are Pucked in the Head. Sayonara. In the lane, I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain, but I'm climbing back on the train. I can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon because I'll see. Familiar terrain, I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Said you had a reading on the douchometer. I got nothing.
All right. Well, I still say he's a douche. You don't. We're going to agree to disagree here.
I think you're a douche. How do you like that? That's my reading on the douchometer.
All right.
You're a douche.
Fine. You're a douche, too.
Oh, well, now you're just name-calling. You look petty and small.